This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Friday, April 3rd. Good morning. I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. CDFA launches climate strategy. Pear growers prep for early harvest. DPR names advisory committee members and e-commerce flows. CDFA has released the final draft of a strategy aimed at helping farmers and ranchers adapt to climate change while contributing to emission reductions in environmental goals. The Climate Resiliency Strategy for California Agriculture lays out a statewide framework to prepare the sector for intensifying challenges. That includes drought, extreme heat, wildfires, flooding, and growing pest pressures. CDFA Secretary Karen Ross said the plan, quote, focuses on how we bring together all that we've learned about climate smart agriculture and the ability for agriculture to be a part of the climate solution. The strategy is organized around three pillars: supporting a resilient food sector, protecting natural systems critical to agriculture, and encouraging climate smart farming practices. Each includes targeted actions tied to goals like improving farm profitability, reducing greenhouse gas emissions, supporting economic development, and delivering environmental and public health benefits. The plan builds on the state's Ag Vision Initiative and reflects input from farmers, researchers, and state agencies. California pear growers are calling on retailers to scale back imports and prepare for an early domestic harvest expected to begin in late June with promotable volumes by early July. The California Pear Advisory Board said a warm spring accelerated bloom access key growing regions, setting up an earlier than usual season with strong yields. Executive Director Chris Santabini emphasized that California produces the first fresh Bartlett pears in North America each year and offers the only locally grown option during the early summer window. Santabini raised concerns about rising competition from Argentina, noting imports have increased sharply over the past decades and often overlap with the start of the California season. That overlap can create excess supply and dampen prices. The board is urging retailers to phase out offshore pears by late April or early May and prioritize domestic fruit, arguing it delivers better ripening and eating quality while supporting U.S. growers. The Department of Pesticide Regulation yesterday announced appointments to two new advisory bodies designed to guide its transition to more sustainable pest management. The department finalized membership for the Scientific Prioritization and Review Committee and the Sustainable Pest Management Advisory Committee, both central to implementing DPR's long-term roadmap for safer pesticide use. SPARC will provide independent scientific guidance to help the department prioritize pesticide evaluations from risk assessments to mitigation measures and identification of safer alternatives. The panel brings together experts across toxicology, environmental science, and agriculture systems. The newly formed Sustainable Pest Management Advisory Committee will focus on broader policy and implementation issues tied to DPR's Sustainable Pest Management Framework. Members represent growers, public health experts, environmental advocates, and pest control professionals. Director Karen Morrison said the committee will help DPR in, quote, making decisions that are informed, inclusive, and grounded in the best available information to protect California's people and environment. The National Corn Growers Association CEO Neil Caskey is calling on Mosaic and Simplot to explain their decision to support preserving tariffs on Moroccan and Russian phosphate fertilizer in what Caskey called, quote, a show of complete disrespect to the American corn farmer. Both companies said in filings this week they support keeping the countervailing duties and even called on commerce to raise them. The duties are up for their 5-year review. Nutrien has already said it supports ending the duties. I would, quote, invite Mosaic and Simplot to make their case directly to our corn board. Our guys, our farmers, would love to hear the wisdom behind their decision to ask for higher duties. That the word of Casti speaking with AgriPulse last night. Dozens of ag groups had written to both companies' leadership to ask them to drop their support for the tariffs. Casti said they never received any replies. They are both highly profitable companies that are doing extremely well. That's even more true right now because of the disruption from the war in Iran, and their farm customers are in exactly the opposite position. They're fighting to stay in business with every day that passes, Caskey added. They know no shame. Officials returned home from the recent World Trade Organization ministerial without a deal to extend a moratorium on e-commerce. That expired several days ago, but a group of like-minded partners pledging to keep duties off for now. In a joint statement, 23 countries, including the U.S. and United Kingdom, Japan and South Korea, said they would temporarily avoid imposing duties on electronic transmission like software and data flows. The pact will last until at least the next General Council meeting, the statement says, when officials are expected to resume negotiations. More than 100 WTO members had agreed to extend the moratorium to 2030 at the ministerial earlier this week, but Brazil and Turkey blocked the move. Precision agriculture and other ag tech industries rely on cross-border data and software flows. Any tariffs that hit these products could increase costs to producers and inhibit adoption of new technologies and practices. Foreign Agriculture Service is disbursing more than $8 million in funding through three prominent export programs. Nine recipients will share $3.5 million through the Technical Assistance for Specialty Crops program. The Emerging Markets program will get $3.8 million for 16 recipients, and eight recipients will get $1.1 million through the Quality Samples program. FAS said it expects to deliver another two tranches of funding for the program later in fiscal 26. Here's today's final word. AB 1731 helps make it possible for the children in our communities to eat a fresh, organic peach from my farm instead of a cup of canned peaches coming from out of state. That's Brentwood farmer A.I. Korchesny testifying in support of a bill to create a program to fund to help schools purchase healthy California-grown food. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Friday, April 3rd. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Nally.